Hello, and welcome to a brand new episode of Databook, a Chief Healthcare Executive podcast. My name is Laura Jost, and I'm the editorial director at CAG. Today, Steve Wigginton, CEO of Ikario, joins CAG's associate editor, Samara Rosenfeld. They discuss value-based care during the COVID-19 pandemic, the role of artificial intelligence in helping health systems connect with patients, and addressing social determinants of health.
Thank you so much for joining me today. Can you start by telling the audience a little bit about yourself and Ikario?
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm Steve Wigginton. I'm the CEO of Ikario. I've been in healthcare for over 20 years in a variety of different settings, both working with the provider side of healthcare, the payer side of healthcare, and in fact, the supply chain and contract management GPO land earlier in my career. Over the last 15 years, I've been primarily focused on supporting providers and payers who are delivering value-based or population health-based strategies and looking to connect the dots for the individuals that they serve. Ikario is the leading health action company. We formed Ikario in 2020 by merging two leaders, Novu Health and Revel Health, in consumer engagement and the use of technology, incentives, and rewards to deliver impact for health plans. In 2021, we acquired a third business called Chip Rewards, which offers a self-service platform with a highly configurable set of capabilities that payers use to administer reward, incentive, and well-being programs for their members.
What are the benefits of that value-based care model for both health systems and health plans?
Well, if the pandemic has shown, it's obviously shown us a lot of things, but one thing it has definitely underscored is the value of a connected, continuous relationship between the provider, the payer, and the individual at the end that they serve. And the payer may call that individual a member, and the provider may call that individual a patient, certainly when they're in a clinical setting. I think you and I would think of ourselves as human beings or people without any of those labels. What value-based care does is it rewards those payers, particularly, and the providers who contract under those settings for providing high-quality care at an affordable cost. And we've often heard in the healthcare circles about the triple aim. Certainly aligning the way that the participants are paid for the value they create, as opposed to in the fee-for-service realm, the number of things that they do, regardless of outcome, really benefits us all. And over time, I think we'll continue to drive innovation across healthcare.
What role can AI play in helping health plans or health systems better connect with their members? Or patients.
Or the people they serve, exactly. Well, AI and machine learning in combination allow a machine to learn very, very rapidly and gain insights across a huge amount of data. And one thing that healthcare is very good at is creating data. One thing healthcare has traditionally not been very good at is connecting data from different sources and participants in the healthcare value chain. Artificial intelligence, the ability to look at a set of accumulation of data and make predictions, highly accurate predictions about people whose risk will increase, whose illnesses will progress, really then allows the provider and the payer, and in our case, Ikario, to focus on those individuals that are most likely to engage, most in need of intervention, and get them the kinds of services and support that will change the trajectory of their health for the better.
How should health plans or health systems implement this technology?
Well, the most important thing is to have a value use case at the outset of any technology project, but certainly as we look across the industry, artificial intelligence and machine learning and some of the capabilities, they can be highly valuable if you are pointing them at a specific problem or opportunity, and you have an underlying business case that allows you to sustain the investment necessary to make it work. Sometimes we see both payers and providers leading with technology and not necessarily leading with the clinical outcomes or the cost savings or the risk scoring improvements or a business themed use case that supports the investment. So that to me is the most important. What is the opportunity to create value in healthcare that you are pursuing? Lower cost, higher quality, better patient experience, and then having the tools, including AI and other technology tools, focused on delivering that outcome and not necessarily focused on buying and deploying technology for technology's sake.
What would you say the key role is in using AI and value-based care to provide more personalized care?
AI is a tool. It does play a key role. Personalization is really about understanding the individuals that you are attempting to communicate with. And that means understanding as much about them as possible. What AI allows you to do is bring in a lot of data that perhaps would not normally sit in the healthcare enterprise. It's consumer spending data, voting data. There are hundreds and hundreds of data points available. Consumer marketers acquire this data all the time and use it to personalize their messages to you. When you apply the technology properly, it allows you to slice the cohorts, the types of individuals you're communicating with, into very, very, very small batches, if you will. Ideally, you get to a place where every single message is communicated, the content of the message, how it is delivered. Is it texted to me or emailed to me? Or do you mail me something and then call me? And how does that sequence work? Given what you know about me, what would you expect to be the next best action? So the advantage of being able to tailor message, channel, offer, in the same way that a consumer marketer does it to drive sales, in this case, you're driving engagement, and that engagement really connects people to the goodness of healthcare. So if there's a nurse who's able to help me manage through a chronic illness, but I don't know about her and I haven't actually connected with her or him, that goodness, her ability or his ability to help me manage my disease is untapped. And so the personalization in front of that goodness really drives me to try it. And once I try it, I typically stick with it.
And then you have on the other side of the health spectrum where you're not necessarily focused on a disease or a chronic condition, but you're focused more on addressing the social determinants of health, like food and education and housing. You know, what is the importance of being able to do that?
Well, it's super good question. I mean, the reality is our health is in part driven by our genes and in part driven by our access to high quality physicians and clinics and drugs and treatment modalities. But it's also deeply influenced by our housing situation, our food security and the degree to which we are able to get healthy foods, transportation. Can I get to and from the kinds of appointments that I would need to get to and from? And so anytime healthcare looks at our overall health and well-being and ignores the social determinants, those things that actually make up the balance of our lives outside of our healthcare experience, you're really missing the point. And what's the point of having a really phenomenal drug that's been developed and is shown to have great efficacy, but the individuals that you would like to take that drug, that you prescribe that drug to, are unable to get to the pharmacy to refill, or they're unable to do some of the other things that are important for the efficacy of that treatment. So at some level, it's super obvious. Like, we should consider the whole person. And as a society, we should try to address those those social issues that determine and impact health and have nothing to do with what happens inside the four walls of a hospital. What's challenging now, just to go back to an earlier question you asked around value, when I am fully accountable for the total cost and quality of your healthcare, I realize very quickly as a payer that it actually pays, in quotes, to make sure you have access to a telehealth resource for anxiety and depression. Or it pays extremely well to make sure that you have access to healthy foods. And so the value-based environment has really accelerated the industry's view on all the other things that go into how healthy you are and how much you cost that have nothing to do with the cost of an X-ray, nothing to do with the cost of an ER visit. But that's where those expenses show up. The ER visit shows up as a very expensive way to someone with better access would have done a simple office visit with a physician. And so that's really, I think for me, and for all of us that are working in healthcare, the importance of social determinants is instinctively obvious. It's now become also economically viable to go deliver interventions that aren't traditionally thought of as healthcare interventions, because they do impact that part of the total cost and quality equation that I am accountable for under a value-based payment model.
When you talk about, you know, you mentioned telehealth and access to care, there's a big focus on the rural populations and patients and members in poverty-stricken areas and neighborhoods. How can we help close the digital divide?
Well, arguably, if I were to provide low-cost internet access to somebody in a rural or maybe someone who's economically disadvantaged and can't afford it, I unlock a ton of opportunities for things like telehealth visits, health coaching. And those modalities and those interventions have been shown to positively improve health outcomes and lower costs. So closing that digital divide by having a health plan offered their Medicaid managed Medicaid members some digital connectivity program. At Acario, we actually have a program like this that we deliver on behalf of payers. It really requires a little bit of forward thinking leadership on the part of the executives in the plan, but it pencils out extremely well. You can address the access issues and the acceptance that telehealth now and virtual health and, you know, video visits and all these things now. Again, another byproduct of the pandemic that arguably has been positive is it's dramatically accelerated our societal acceptance that you can get 95% of the goodness over a video visit, in many cases 100%. And it's way better than never seeing a physician. And so I think unlocking the access digitally, which you know, some states are doing through their Medicaid programs, some payers are doing with their own funding, then sets up that pipe where you can deliver healthcare virtually and telephonically in a way that otherwise wouldn't be accessible.
Thank you so much, Steve, for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Likewise, thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Databook. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at Chief Health Exec and on LinkedIn and Facebook. Until next time, I'm Laura Jost.